Welcome to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. I am so glad today I have Dr. Daryl Adams. I am so excited to have you here. Hey, everyone, I have to tell you, he has an LA Dodgers baseball cap on.
Go Dodgers!
Go Dodgers! Well, I'm in Oakland, so we might have some rivalry here. Hey, I just want to introduce you first. Is that okay? I want to just let people know about you. So, Dr. Daryl Adams, he is the rock and roll, hip hop, and soul superintendent. He's a thought leader and technology evangelist. His goal for education is to help make this a better world by inspiring everyone to participate in providing equity, equality, and opportunity for all by ensuring that we leave no child offline and no teacher or parent behind. I love that, Daryl.
Everyone.
Yeah, we got to leave everyone. Okay, we're going to discuss Daryl's journey that led up to the release of the first of its kind rock and roll, hip hop, and soul musical tribute to leadership, education, equity, and democracy. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you.
Is so cool. I was talking to Daryl a little earlier, saying I could talk to him for hours.
Yes.
Well, I love it. What I'd like you to do is just give us a little bit about you, maybe some background about you first.
Sure. Yes. And thank you for having me today. Excited to be with you. I'm just an old Southern boy from Memphis, Tennessee, originally. But I've been out here in California about 30 plus years. So I'm California now, but still have those roots back in Memphis, and started out in the music business back in the 80s. Fortunate enough to be in a band that was pretty popular back there. Did some things, had an album out, did a tour with Hall & Oates, kind of charted on the Billboard charts.
Wait a minute. Yes. I didn't know. Hall & Oates?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Well, basically, it was just a bunch of guys, six African-American guys from Memphis, Tennessee. We was actually the first sort of rock and soul funk band on MTV. I mean, we were in heavy rotation and just living that wonderful life and that dream of having your art be accepted. Unfortunately, the band broke up and I moved out to California, but that's a big part of my story, the fact that my love for music took me into teaching music, which then took me into leadership, because I think there's so much in to get it related to the two. Leadership is an art. Music is an art, and leadership must be creative as music is creative. And so I kind of took that creativity to my education profession, and started out in Los Angeles Unified as a music teacher, and then did that for only for about 5 years. And I really wanted to go into leadership because I felt like we could bring some more love and trust and creativity and innovation into leadership. Back in the 90s, it was really still a top down kind of situation in a lot of educational organizations. And I really wanted to bring that openness and transparency and trust and love. And I felt like that would really help us collaborate together and actually do anything. That's why I really focus on leaving no child offline, leave no teacher or parent behind, because everyone must be included in the process of really educating all of our students.
Wow. I worked with LA Unified. It's kind of like a big animal.
Yes.
And I'm lucky I worked with the arts department and the music department. So it's just a wonderful way. And the interesting thing, Daryl, is a lot of the people that I've talked to, especially leaders, superintendents, many of them started as music educators. Don't you think that's kind of interesting?
Well, and I noticed people who have that artistic background, they tend to be some of our most vibrant innovators and have a lot of soul and spirit that they bring into the leadership realm that really helps to bring people together. So I'm excited to have had the opportunities I've had, and now taking it to another phase, kind of back into the music business, but still doing the educational leadership piece and really helping to promote technology for all of our students, and well-trained quality teachers and supporting those teachers, but also making sure parents are involved. And as a superintendent, I'd go out into the fields and find my parents. I'd go wherever they are, because I felt like once they were involved in the process, you could be a lot more successful. And the story behind one of the songs on my album is called Coachella, because I was at Coachella Unified School District. But that song is about those people in that community, how they banded together to really transform the education system, truly working together.
Well, I knew you when you were superintendent at Coachella because of some of the amazing things you did there. I mean, I wrote about you a long time ago. I don't know if you know that.
But oh, no.
Somewhere. But, well, because of you did the work on the Wi-Fi on wheels. Do you want to just give us a little bit of background of kind of what it was, at Coachella and what happened?
You know what? One of the things I talk about when I go out and speak or entertain, as I say, is I speak about the journey that led me to Coachella, because after being an assistant principal and a high school principal and really wanting to be a superintendent with an opportunity to really innovate and create through trust and love and collaboration, I landed at Coachella. Some people say, oh, don't go to Coachella. It's a tough place. All the kids don't free reduced lunch and all that. And it's like, hey, that's the place I want to be. And so I got the opportunity to serve there. And, I had a board at that time that was like, we only have one place to go but up. Let's take us there. And I was like, you found the right man to do it. And I began to reach out to all the community and, all the parents and the teachers and students, of course, and the unions and elected leaders, and say, we can do better than what's happening now. And here's a way to do it. We need to be open. We need to be transparent. We need to show we care about each other. We love each other. And everybody's involved in the process of where we go, not just the superintendent or the leadership cabinet. Everybody needed to be involved. And so that was a perfect place for me to go in and take some of my crazy, creative musical ideas, translate it into leadership ideas, and say, hey, instead of going from a C to an F sharp, that's really not typically where you go. I'm going there anyway. Let's go from no technology to every kid having technology. How are we going to do that? Well, the only way to do it, we can't wait for the federal government. We can't wait for the state government. We need to do it as a community. And I went to the community and said, are you willing to tax yourself to do it? The government's taxing you for this, that, and the other. Why not tax yourself to give your students an opportunity to learn in the 21st century, to be successful in the 21st century? And so we did a campaign to get the information out to parents. We had Apple come in. They were very supportive displaying what the mobile devices could do, because we are a mobile community out there. Parents come and go, and we all love our iPhones now and our iPads or whatever, but once the parents saw what it can do, and we did a huge pilot program, the students and the teachers and the parents were like, we have to do this. And so we did a campaign to make everyone aware. In the 2012 election, it sailed through at 67% of the vote. So every kid, all 20,000 kids, preschool to high school, will have their own individual iPad. And back at the time, there was not a lot of E-rate money to upgrade the infrastructure and broadband at the schools. So we used some of that money to do that as well. We wanted a state-of-the-art system that could handle 60,000 iPads and devices. And so we really built up a system that was second to none with the help of Cisco and a lot of others. And, we did come upon the problem of, a lot of your kids are in trailer home parks, and they don't have connectivity. There's no cable there. There's no direct TV. There's no nothing. It's like, okay, let's think about this. We have 100 buses. We really would love the kids to be online on the bus going to school, to athletic events, to field trips. Why not, when those buses aren't being used, have them parked in the trailer home parks? And can it be done? I don't know. I said, I think it'd be done. Let's give it a shot.
Worked
successfully. We had a problem with batteries being discharged, but then we put solar panels on the buses, and that alleviated that problem. And I said, by any means necessary, students must be connected in the 21st century. And I sort of made the joke, if I have to put a router on a pigeon and fly them around the neighborhood, I will do whatever it takes to make sure our kids are connected. And the fact that we had, 98% of our kids were Hispanic, but lower socioeconomic, every kid's on free and reduced lunch. It was really like a huge undertaking. But it was a huge accomplishment that President Obama found out about and really gave that community a lot of accolades for being taking matters into their own hands and changing the trajectory of their students from not just a high school diploma, but truly being prepared for college, career, and citizenship.
Yes, and in what, 2014, you were given an award from the U.S. Department of Ed, right? You were named one of the top 100 innovative superintendents in the nation. That's pretty cool. That must have been really, did you go to Washington?
Yes. That's when the president talked about, you know, usually I'll give a shout out at the State of the Union or whatever to two or three people. And the Coachella community and myself were given a great shout out by President Obama regarding the fact that we had not only provided students the devices, but we also have provided them connectivity with the Wi-Fi on Wheels program. And so he mentioned that it's not just students are learning now, it's the parents and everyone's involved in the process. So he really held that as a great achievement, an example of a community taking matters into their own hands. And that's what I speak about when I do my entertainment concerts now. They're not speeches, they're concerts. So come, if you come, be ready to party and sing along, dance along, and learn along.
So
I was honored with other superintendents who are doing similar things and different things. And we all want the best for all of our kids in our nation. So that's why I titled the album, Education Nation.
Well, I listened to some of the songs. I'm really excited. But I still want to say another thing about you is that you were also named on the COSIN EdScoop exclusive list of innovators and innovation.
Innovators and innovations.
That's it. That changed education over the last 25 years. And you know what? I feel so honored. I got to sit next to you at breakfast, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's Daryl. We get to meet each other. You know, it's just wonderful that you can do this. And so that's where you came up with that TLC philosophy, right? So let me say it again, trust, love, and collaboration. It's digital equity and access to students compete on a global level. And you did that. I mean, that is so cool with us kids. So how long were you there at Coachella?
I was there for 6 years. I started out as the assistant super of human resources. And that was a short stint because 3 or 4 months later, the superintendent left and the board asked me if I would take over the leadership. And I was happy to do so. And I came in full knowledge that it was going to be a difficult task. But I love those kids and those families so much. I was honored to serve. And the fact that, you know, I came in with a trusting, loving, collaborative approach, they really, truly accepted that and appreciated that, because before, I guess that was not the case. And I was like, well, I'm all about bringing people together. You cannot do anything alone, you know. And so I'm truly humbled to have served and you know, talk to people like you who are helping to make a difference as well. So I had a great time there. It really changed my life. And I know it really had an impact on those students there. I still hear from some of them now, and some of the parents and then educators out there. And I'm always going to be beholden to Coachella Valley Unified School District. It's the song Coachella. It's a rap song, but it's all about that story of what happened there. And I can't wait to share that on the Education Nation album.
Oh, well, okay. So since we're talking about the album, let's figure out what happened to you after Coachella. All of a sudden, you got this music going, right? So how did this happen?
Well, you know, they say the Lord works in mysterious ways, you know. And I had a problem back, which I thought was a failure, back in my days when I was a high school principal. And I had a lot of time on my hands, let's put it like that. And I hadn't really touched an instrument maybe in 15, 20 years, and because I was focused on my education career. But I bought a grand piano and started playing again, and I just started writing songs again. And, you know, like 300-400 songs later, I'm where we are today, and want to really share some of those songs, because it's all about experiences and things that have happened to me in my life, happened to others, about the present situation we're in. You know, I have a song called Vote for Democracy, and you can wonder what that's about. you know, people participating in this process, in this beautiful ideal of America and democracy. So sometimes those greatest failures in your life are actually signs to you to make a change and to do something different. So it still took me about 10 years to get to this point. But I knew once I started playing again that it had never left me, that musical gift that we're giving. And I just feel like to not share it, it is sort of an affront to the gift that I've been given. So I hope people like it. You know, I can tell you this, it's really catchy hooks, it's sing along, it's danceable, and it's thoughtful messages in everything I do. And I have about 10 albums. I'm trying to get them out before I truly retire.
10 albums?
Yeah, I got 10 albums of material. So like, I'm a prolific songwriter. So, you know, we'll let people judge, you know, if they like it or not. But for me, it's really the story of my life and the story of the lives of others that have touched me, that I've touched, and what's going on in present day America. And, you know, some of the things was happening in the past. I mean, I have a song called Let Freedom Ring. And that's a historical message in that music about what's happened since the creation of this country. So I'm excited to serve those. Can't wait to get it out. I have a great opportunity in concert coming on April 17th at ASU GSB Summit in San Diego. And there'll be a lot of educators there. And it's going to be a celebration to educators. But we're going to get funky. We're going to get rock and roll. We're going to get hip-hop and soul. And we're going to get down. So have a good time.
Well, hip-hop is coming back, and it's great for kids. And, you know, it's also great for us, you know, as educators. We need to get up and really, we need to celebrate what we do.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to play just a little bit of your title song of Education Nation. So let's do a little of that. I love this.
Yes.
Oh, it just, you know, I want to get up and dance. You know, I'm a dancer, right? So, yeah.
Yes. I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I love it. So how did you come up with the title of Education Nation? Why did you do that?
Well, you know, when I talk about Education Nation, I think that, you know, a lot of countries will say they are, a lot of communities will say they are, a lot of candidates for president or whatever say, I'm the education president, I'm education this. Well, truly to be an education nation or advocate for education, you really got to get involved in it, support it, advocate for it, you know, support teachers, support students, these students that are doing these great things in Florida, you know, as a result of that terrible, terrible shooting there. I'm supporting their efforts and students all around, you know, Black Lives Matter students who are going out and talking about those issues. As we can see, we just had another incident in Sacramento. So I'm keeping it real, but, you know, let's talk about what's happening in our country and let's continue to get educated about it and entertained as we do. So, you know, I'm writing about these issues. I got a song called We Will Remember regarding those students who have been hurt and injured or killed in the school violence, and hoping that that'll touch, you know, some people's sentiments and we'll get some sensible gun reform and control in our country. So Education Nation is going to be an ode to educators, education, learning, teaching, and all the songs are really focused on that to help make this a better world. And I'm excited to share it with people.
Should we share it? Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked in Oakland Unified and seen so many things. I live in this city, and we have to be there for our kids. And music touches their heart. And so I've seen you in action on the stage. You really get people going. You are that edutainer that everybody talks about. You know, do you want to share one more, a little bit of another song? Is there another one you want to share?
Sure. Yeah, I have a great mentor named Ted Dentersmith. I don't know if you know Ted Dentersmith, but he's a venture capitalist, now turned educational evangelist, and he's an angel to all of us, truly focusing on what education could truly be in this century. And he had a great book and movie out called Most Likely to Succeed that's been well received, and now his book is out, What School Could Be. And so I kind of teamed up with Ted, let me do a song for this book, you know. And so when you come out, you know, you have this little, the song people can sing along with. So it's called What School Could Be, and Ted likes it, and I hope the public likes it when they get a listening to it. So called What School Could Be.
All right, let's go. The purpose in your life. E is essential. We got to get it right. A is for agency. It belongs to you. K is for the knowledge to get you through. Yeah. I love, you know, what's really cool is a lot of people have seen his movie, and this would be good to tie it together. How many songs are on your album, by the way?
I got about 16 songs on there now. I may whittle it down to 12 or 13, but it'll be, you know, 45 to 60 minutes of fun, happy rock and roll, hip hop and soul.
So. Oh, I love it. Well, the fun thing is I wish I was at your concert. I'm not. So the next time I'm there, I'm hoping I can see you. The thing that people... You're still going out there and doing keynotes, and you're still doing all of these wonderful things. You even had a book you were starting, but you got so excited about the music, right?
And the book is probably going to be titled Education Nation too, but I'll probably have it as an ode to teachers, students, and parents in the 21st century. So I'm going to use that as a working title. The music was just burning my soul. I had to get it out, so... I'm excited to get that out. I'll follow up with the book later on in this year, or beginning of next year. But it'll all be related to hope and equity, unity, and, you know, democracy. How do we continue to learn and to grow together and not let anything divide us as a country? And I know education, one of my sayings is where education thrives, democracy survives. And I truly believe that... educators all over understand that, and people who don't, we need to help them understand that, because that is so important to us moving forward as a nation, as an education nation.
I have so many quotes from you. I'm trying to write them down so quick.
The other one is, help them find their passion in life. They never work a day in their life.
And
that is so crucial. And I think about my own life. Education, it was a passion, but music was my true love and passion. And to be able to live this life and come back at it, you know, I just hit that golden age of, you know, 60. but that's just a number. What's intriguing, I am so excited. I'm just excited as when I was 21, when we were on MTV, because I have that energy that comes from music, and it's such a spiritual connection. And I'm just excited to be able to share that with everyone. And when I see people standing up and singing along and jamming to the beat, that's kind of like nirvana for me.
Well, I don't know if you know what I'm doing now. It's all about passion and purpose. That's my goal lately. So I'm trying to find what people's passions are, and usually it becomes their purpose in life. And you did that. And, you know, it's, I didn't know about your beginning with music.
My whole existence.
Yes. I can just imagine you around the house.
Yeah. My kids, you know, my kids are like, what is he doing? Because when they first were born, I didn't really start playing. I mean, my boys kind of, they've heard the music because they were born in 01 and 03, but my girls were born in 92 and 96. So oh. I wasn't doing any music then. I didn't really start back doing music till 06, 07. You know,
wow.
And so, but now they hear it, and at first it was like, what is he doing? But now they're like, hey, that sounds good. And, oh, hey, Dad, I like that one. And then you get them, you kind of get a little sing along. And of course, you know, having a supportive wife, that helps too. You know, allowing me to retire, you know, I did have some medical issues that forced me to retire. But again, that was the Lord speaking in mysterious ways, saying, okay, you've done that, but you need to take care of your health. And then now go back to that gift I've given you. And go out and make a better world through music. And so I'm really, really fortunate and happy to have a second chance at it.
Oh, I love it. Because, oh, well, we could talk a lot longer about this. Because passion and purpose, and you're always young. If you're young at heart, it has nothing to do with an age. It's,
that's right.
And I'm a little older than you. Hey, I'll never give up.
We'll keep that to ourselves.
All that I just put it on the podcast, so everybody heard it. So, but this has been really, really fun, and I cannot wait for your album. This is so great.
Thank you. I look forward to it. I'd love to have you know, people subscribe to my website, drdarryladams.com, and they'll get a update on when it's going to drop. Well, basically, I'm going to stream the album. I'm sort of taking a hint from some of the artists nowadays, like Chance the Rapper and others, who are just basically streaming their albums. I'm not looking for a record company. I'm not even going that route. I just want to have my music available to everyone. And I want to use some of the proceeds to go to those underserved communities and entertain them and educate them to take matters into their own hands and change the trajectory of their community by doing it together. And I have a great example via Coachella and what I was allowed to do there. And so I'm looking forward to doing that, and I hope people would support that. And I'd love to come to their community.
Well, we're putting a blog post together. So we're putting all the links and anything you need up there so people can actually access some of the, the resources. And I am so honored that you're here with me today. Thank you so much, Daryl. This was wonderful.
Thank you. And it's I who is truly honored to be with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, this is great. Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Dr. Daryl Adams. Make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Daryl as the rock and roll, hip hop, and soul superintendent, and his new album, Education Nation, and so much more. So look for a complimentary blog post with the resources and links where you can leave a comment for Daryl. These conversations are all part of a bigger picture to transform education. I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share or retweet the post on Twitter using the hashtag Rethink_learning. So please subscribe to the podcast and the website at barbarabray.net so you can join the conversations.